It's important to feel grateful, right? Well, maybe, but maybe not. Put that gratitude journal down and listen to this. You're listening to The Academic Imperfectionist. I'm Dr. Rebecca Roach. I'm a coach and a philosopher at the University of London, and week by week, I'll be drawing on philosophical analysis and coaching insights to help you dump perfectionism and flourish on your own terms. Hello, recovering perfectionists, academic or otherwise. Welcome to the very first episode of my brand new podcast. The topic I've chosen for this first episode is what I'm going to call toxic gratitude. Now, you've probably come across the idea of practicing gratitude. You might have come across the research that has shown that taking time to think about what you have to feel grateful for is linked to a variety of benefits: improved physical health, improved relationships, improved resilience, improved well-being, the list goes on. And we might also think there's an intuitive moral reason why it's good to practice gratitude. We just think it's good to be grateful. Being ungrateful is something bad. If someone tells us we're ungrateful, they're telling us that we're doing something wrong, that we're not feeling grateful when we ought to be feeling grateful. Now, around this idea that gratitude is a good thing, there's grown up this culture of gratitude where we're encouraged to make lists of things that we're grateful for. Maybe to start off our mornings by just thinking of a few things in the world that make us fortunate and that we're grateful to have. And that's supposed to kind of set a positive tone for the day. So you might be wondering, what's not to like about gratitude? How can gratitude be toxic? The basic idea here is that sometimes when we're told that we ought to feel grateful, or when we tell ourselves that we ought to feel grateful, what's actually happening is that we're suppressing negative feelings that we might have, and that this can be a case of really papering over the cracks. Feeling grateful is not always a way of making negative feelings go away. It can help us get things in perspective, sure. But if we have lingering background feelings of anger, frustration, resentment, a sense of having been treated unjustly, then if when we experience those negative feelings, we tell ourselves to feel grateful instead, then what we're doing is just distracting ourselves. An example here might be somebody who feels that they're being taken advantage of in their job. Perhaps they've had less experienced, less qualified colleagues promoted over them. Perhaps they are being paid less than colleagues who do the same sort of thing. Perhaps they feel like their boss is taking advantage of them. And so this sort of person might have a sense of resentment and anger about the way they're being treated. That feeling of anger, those negative feelings of resentment, can be uncomfortable. Perhaps those feelings threaten to take you outside of your comfort zone. They're pushing you to do something, to confront your boss, to take action against the injustice that you're experiencing, to look for a new job. And all that can be uncomfortable. There's something comfortable about staying where we are, and something scary about doing something new. And it might also be the case that for many of us, we just feel like negative feelings are bad. We don't feel entitled to them. We think we should be nice, that we shouldn't feel angry. And something that I've encountered in many of my coaching clients is that people will often practice gratitude as a way to distract themselves from their legitimate negative feelings. So somebody who is in a frustrating job might tell themselves that they're lucky to have a job at all. They're lucky to have an income. They're lucky to have a family who's healthy and happy and so on. And they do this as a way of covering up their negative feelings. The problem is that it does just cover up those negative feelings. It just distracts us from them. It doesn't make the feelings go away. It's a bit like when you're a kid and you're told to eat the vegetables on your dinner plate and you say that you don't like them. And you're told that you should feel grateful to have food at all. There's lots of starving people in the world. So you should just stop complaining and eat. And the problem is that, well, yes, it's a good thing to have food in front of you, but that doesn't make your vegetables taste any nicer. The order to remember how lucky you are doesn't really address the negative feelings that you have. It just ignores them. It just pushes them aside. And that doesn't make them go away. And one thing that those kids who are being told to eat their vegetables aren't yet able to express is that it's completely possible to do both. You can feel grateful that you're not starving. You can feel grateful that somebody's cooked you a meal, but you can still dislike your vegetables. The same is true for adults. If you're dissatisfied in your job, if you're frustrated, if you're resentful, it's possible to feel all those negative things while also recognizing that you're fortunate to have a job at all. Now, if that weren't the case, if it's only those people with nothing to feel grateful for who are entitled to complain about anything in their lives, then none of us would be entitled to complain about anything at all. Because if you've been on the planet long enough to start to feel dissatisfied or angry or resentful about anything in your life, then you have it better than a lot of people who haven't lived that long at all. And so unless you are prepared to give up the belief that sometimes it's appropriate for people to complain, then it must be the case that that initial thought that you can't both feel grateful for some aspects of your life while complaining about others must be false. That's what philosophers call a reductio ad absurdum inference. When I talk about toxic gratitude, what I mean is gratitude used as a way to push aside negative feelings without acknowledging them. I'm not claiming that it's never possible to make negative feelings go away by focusing on something positive instead. Sometimes that is possible. An example might be if you're in a bad mood because you've just arrived home having been caught in the rain and you're soaking wet, and then you check the lottery numbers and you find that you've won the jackpot, then that probably is going to make your bad feelings go away. It's going to put it all into perspective. But the chances are that in a case like that, you'd have started feeling better pretty quickly anyway. You know, by the time you got your wet clothes off and had a shower or whatever, you'd have felt okay again. In a case like that, we can think of the positive experience as something that kind of presses your reset button. But in other cases, pressing that reset button is not such a simple matter. If your boss is taking advantage of you, if a friend has betrayed you for the fifth time, if you're in an abusive or an unsatisfying relationship, then the sort of negative feelings that arise as a result are not the kind of thing that are going to go away permanently just by focusing on something positive. So how can we tell the difference between appropriate gratitude and toxic gratitude? Well, I'm going to give you a hack. Often, we're not very kind to ourselves. We'll say all sorts of negative things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to another person, especially somebody that we love. So the next time you feel the urge to distract yourself from your negative feelings by telling yourself to feel grateful for something, ask yourself instead whether you would say that to your best friend or your sister or another loved one who is in a similar situation. If your best friend was complaining to you about being taken advantage of by her boss, would you encourage her to feel grateful without even engaging with or acknowledging her negative feelings? I think there's a good chance that you wouldn't. Often we're kind of in an abusive relationship with ourselves. We'll say all sorts of things to ourselves that we'd never dream of saying to somebody else. If you'd never encourage your best friend to look on the bright side, if she was in the same circumstances in which you find yourself, then it's inappropriate to say that to yourself. The thing is, when we ignore our negative feelings, we lose something important. Feelings like anger and resentment and frustration are a sign that there's something wrong. They're often a sign that we need to make changes. If you think about the sorts of major changes for the better that have been made in the world, the suffragette movement, the end of apartheid in South Africa, efforts to close the gender pay gap and improve equality in the workplace. These are all efforts that have started from people's feelings of anger and resentment and a sense of injustice. Emmeline Pankhurst was born into a loving, supportive family. She had a warm home and food on the table. Nelson Mandela was born into the Tembu royal family in South Africa. Now, relatively speaking, these people were pretty privileged, but they were also people who were angry and resentful about injustice and inequality in the world. Now, if instead of listening to those negative feelings, they had told themselves to shut up and feel grateful for what they did have, we'd have never had Emmeline Pankhurst founding the suffragette movement, and we'd have never had Nelson Mandela making the huge contributions that he did towards ending apartheid in South Africa. Negative feelings are important, and yes, they can be uncomfortable to experience, and part of that is because they're important, because we understand that they're a signal that something is wrong and that often we need to make changes in our lives. And making changes in our lives is scary. But at the same time, ignoring negative feelings, trying to lose them in the pages of a gratitude journal, is not a constructive way to deal with them. Psychoanalysts understand that ignoring our negative emotions is a recipe for trouble. Obviously, there are ways of expressing our negative feelings that are problematic. It's usually inappropriate to deal with our anger by hurting other people, hurting animals, destroying stuff, causing fires, and so on. But that doesn't mean that the anger or the frustration or the resentment is wrong. It's just how you feel. There's no right or wrong about it. So what I'd like to suggest is that instead of making a gratitude list, you make an anger list. Take 10 minutes after listening to this to make a list of all the things in your life that you're stewing about, all the stuff that's making you angry, frustrated, unhappy, dissatisfied. Write it all down. And this bit is super important. Don't feel like you need to justify it. Don't feel like you need to say, I'm angry about X because blah, blah, blah. You don't need to justify your feeling of anger by explaining why you're angry. You'd never do that with a gratitude list, right? You'd never write, I'm grateful that my family is happy, followed by a justification. And the reason is we just don't think that people need to earn gratitude. You don't have to justify it. And it's the same with your negative emotions. If you feel angry, you just feel angry. Now, once you've written out an anger list, take some time to look over it and ask yourself what it means. Perhaps you'll just feel better about certain things on the list having written them out. Perhaps there's some things on the list that you can't do much about because they relate to problems beyond your control. But beyond this, there's going to be some things on the list that point to things that you can control. Notice any themes underlying those items on the list. What's your anger telling you? Is there something in your life that you're dissatisfied with? Perhaps there's a feeling of dissatisfaction that you haven't acknowledged, maybe because you don't feel entitled to it. Is there something in your life that you're no longer willing to put up with? Does some part of you know that there are certain changes that need to be made, even if that part is buried by another part which tells you just to shut up and feel grateful about how good you've got it? The point here is that your negative feelings are your friends, your long-standing negative feelings, the ones that won't go away. They're your alarms that you need to make certain changes in your life. Now, that life might be one in which there's plenty to feel grateful for. And if you have the equipment to download and listen to this podcast, then there's certainly plenty in your life to feel grateful for. But that doesn't mean that you need to paint on a smile and just shut up and get on with it. You can acknowledge and accept and embrace your anger and listen to what it's trying to tell you. Just go ahead and be angry. I'm Dr. Rebecca Roach, and you've been listening to The Academic Imperfectionist. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on whatever podcast app you like to use. For more information and updates about the podcast, my coaching, or just to get in touch and say hi, please visit the website at academicimperfectionist.com. Follow me on Twitter at academicimp or on Facebook at academicimperfectionist. Thanks for listening and see you next time.